Yes, so we're in this series, Learning to be Disciple Makers, okay? So if you were here last week, we looked at how to make disciples. So how do we actually go about it? We introduced the idea that there's a process in it. It's not just random. You don't just run outside, get a shoebox, stand on the shoebox, get a loud hail and start screaming at people in the street. There's a method to our madness. You know, pinky in the brain, we're going to rule the world. So we've actually thought of a strategy here, okay? So like we involved in this process of engaging, establishing. Well, let me talk you through each one. It begins with an engage, right? A handshake, a connection of sorts, whether it's electronic or physical or virtual or real. There's an engaging that happens. Then there's an establishing. And if someone can find us a more animated image than that, that'd be really nice. But this idea that once we've engaged with someone, they've come to know Christ, they need to be established and grounded so that when storms come, so that when the wind blows, they don't just get blown away, you know? And one thing I do know about life is that stuff happens, right? Everyone has stuff happen in their life. Some things are great, some things aren't. The evil one comes and he whispers ideas, false ideas. If I'm not grounded in the word, I'm going to buckle underneath, you know, his wisdom. He's cunning. He's smart. I mean, he did pretty well with Adam and Eve, right? And they were pretty well created and perfect. There wasn't a lot of TV causing them to think bad. I don't think they had TV, or did they? No, I don't think they did. There was no TV. And the devil came with like incredible cunning, took them down. No wonder he takes people down. What about the next phase in this process? As I go out and I engage with someone, I then seek to establish them in the faith. I then want to start equipping them so that they in turn can reach out to others. So they're going to be equipped to make disciples themselves. And then we're going to empower them to run a small group, to influence their community, their society. And so that kind of brings us to today. And if you've come to listen to a long, boring sermon, it will probably be long and boring, but it's going to be very interactive. How's that? That's one good thing and two not so. Okay, I don't know about the long bit. So what we're going to do is we're going to zone in on really just that engage part for the next couple of weeks. So this week, we'll focus on a part of engage. Next 2 weeks, then I think there's a break for split service, and then another 2 weeks, okay? So it's really just about how do we engage. And it's simple. It's salt. Not sure why I put that there. Maybe it's because it's like breakfast. You know, you always, if you're going to have egg and bacon, you want the salt cellar nearby. Maybe it's because Jesus said that we are the salt of the earth. Shucks, why did I put that there? I hate getting old. You know, you're like, just, you totally forget. The SEAL Assault Leadership Team, who are going into Nigeria. No, it's not, wasn't. Darn. Save All Lost Tigers. That's it. No, it obviously stands for something, right? Fortunately, I put a slide in here because I have no clue. It's the S is start a conversation, right? You need to start a conversation. Without a conversation, the whole engaging is just like people sitting, looking. Like, if you ever travel on the tube, Michael, you just got back from Thailand. Where's Michael? Can't believe you were 2 weeks in Thailand on holiday, dude, where you got that cool Obey jacket. They don't really have tube trains there. But if you go to London, if you go to Thailand via London, in the tube train, the British people don't talk to each other. They don't need to talk because they basically spend their lives watching TV. They don't go out because it's raining, so there's no reason to go out and talk to people. You don't need to talk to people in your family either because you've got WhatsApp. You know what I mean? You don't need to. So if you're a South African and you jump onto the tube train, like the car train, and then you like turn around and you say like, yo, how's it, dude? What's up? It's like, we don't talk. We're British. Like, shut up. And it was quite tough, you know, to travel on a train. Even in Australia, we found Debbie and I, Melbourne or something. We're traveling down to the city and like, you don't talk. Like, what do you mean you don't talk? We're Africans. We talk all the time. We even sometimes talk when we've got something to say.
We talk.
We just talk. And so start a conversation. The A is all about ask questions. Who cut your hair? Where did you get that tattoo? What's your tattoo? I know that's if you're in Divergent. We're not there anymore. Sorry. So we're going to ask questions. We're going to learn about listening to their story. And we're going to really do SAL today. And then Sean's going to hit us next week with 2 weeks on listen to your story. And Tabile is going to be doing some stuff about telling some other story. Okay? So watch the space for those. And then it's about tell your story. And SALT is only one T, but there's like a two parts. Tell your story, tell God's story. Okay, now I wish I could remember that first one again. The S, salivate. No. Start a conversation, okay? It's because it starts there. The A. Huh? Oh, yeah. Ask a question. The L is? Listen. So you were listening. Listen to what? The radio. No, oh, the story. And then T, tell some stories. Tell your story. Tell God's story. Okay, so let's begin with start a conversation, because essentially what this whole thing is when I share my faith or when I'm involved in evangelism, I look for a normal conversation. I don't start by, yo, dude, do you know Jesus died for you? It's like, oh, that's cool. And there's a place to tell someone Jesus died for them. But when you just meet them when they're buying a Coke, that doesn't seem like the normal conversation. That's coming, but it doesn't seem like normal. So what you should do is you say, would you want a Coke? Because Jesus died for you. No, you see, that's not like a normal connection. So we begin with a normal conversation, and we find natural connections to the gospel. Okay? Would you like a hot cross bun? Because it's shaped like the cross and Jesus died. That's not natural. So we find natural ways to move a conversation. Now, who did this really well? For example, Jesus did it really well. Now, Jesus had to go to Samaria. He came to a town called Sychar. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired from the journey, sat down by the well, and by the way, it's about noon. Important point, it's probably everyone's thirsty. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" Now, there's something about the backstory of this lady, because you don't draw water in the middle of the day unless you're an outcast in that town, unless something is not quite kosher and right with your life, because normally you go early morning, where all the other ladies go. But she went middle of the day. So for Jesus, there's a bit of a sign here that's something. And he says, "Will you give me a drink of water?" Now, it's a loaded statement and a loaded question, because he's a Jewish guy and she's a Samaritan woman. And the Jews and the Samaritans kind of like hate each other. It's kind of like Parktown Boys and Greenside High. It's inexplicable, but it's just a reality. It's just life. It's never going to change. It's always been like that. Always will be like that. Everyone knows Greenside's the better school, but Parktown Boys are got a chip on their shoulder. Okay? And so it's just one of those things. It's like, you're talking to me. Do you know I'm from Parktown Boys? Yes, I'm talking to you, and I'm from Greenside. Deal with it. And she's like kind of taken aback, right? The thing he starts talking about is water. Down the line, he's going to say, you know what, my dear? I can give you water that once you've tasted it, you never have to drink any other water again, because it's living water. She's like, dude, you mean I won't have to come back every middle of the day because I'm actually like, you know, the town prostitute and I've got all these husbands. I've had 5 or 7. I've lost count. It's like very exhausting. And yeah, he says, by the way, the guy you're with now, he's not your husband either, is it? So you must be a prophet. Whoa, we're going to learn about power encounters in the last week of this experience. How do you know that sort of stuff, and how do you put that into the mix? There's another example of how normal conversations can kind of twist and go. Paul was in Athens. He was greatly distressed to see that the city was full of idols. So he reasoned in the synagogue with both Jews and God-fearing Greeks, both the people from Parktown and the people from Greenside, as well as in the marketplace with the homeschool kids, day by day with those who happened to be there. So anyone he could, There's even a footnote in the original that says, and even the King's School people. But it's a very small and disputed footnote. Basically, Paul is walking around the town and he sees an idol and he sees they're religious, and one idol is a statue there and it's got a label. I mean, it's a dumb label if you ask me. I mean, obviously these Greeks weren't very bright. It's the unknown God. So we've got idols to all the gods, but just in case I haven't doffed my cap at every single idol, I'm actually going to refer to all the other gods. So, like, don't kill our harvest, you unknown god. We've got a statue for you too. We've got you covered. It's kind of like the perfect New Age scenario where everyone is happy, all right? And he says, like, oh, I can see you're religious. Can I tell you about the unknown god? It's like, what do you know about the unknown God? Ooh, I know everything about the unknown God. I know that he made us and he put us in different places and he's got a plan for all of us. And eventually he's talking about the crucifixion. But he doesn't start. His first point is Jesus died for you. He's getting there and he gets there. In fact, some believe by the end of that. Some don't believe by the end of that. You start a normal conversation and you make a transition to a spiritual conversation eventually. And that's further down the line because it all starts with starting a conversation. Now, I want you to imagine for a moment that you're at a bus stop, okay? This is where now we start to have some fun, because every one of these three skills we're going to learn today, we're going to have a bit of fun, okay? So you're sitting at a bus stop. You know what it's like when you're at a bus stop and someone sits next to you and you've never seen them before? You so just become aware of the person next to you, the person next to you, the person next to you, the person, and it can only work in pairs, not three. So two, you're looking for a partner, bro. Micah, would you jump over here next to Trent just for 2 seconds? You've got partners over there. And before the bus comes, I want you to start up a conversation with this person. And the moment you see the bus rolling in on the screen, you know that your time is over, and then we'll switch and allow the other. Okay, so you want an intelligent, creative, normal conversation without grunts. Okay, that's if you're from Parktown Boys, not grunts. I did see your post yesterday, Terrence, and I know how excited you are about Greens at Parktown Boys. So go. You've only got a few minutes. The bus could come at any minute. Okay, the bus has arrived. So switch now. Switch, and you, the other person, is the one who can engage with you. Pretend you haven't met and start a natural. You've never met them before. They're at the bus stop. Go. So starting a conversation is easy, right?
No.
Why not?
Well, sometimes it gets awkward.
It gets awkward sometimes. Or why is it not easy? Come on. I mean, we're human beings. How hard is it to swing up to each other and grunt and, like, do some stuff? Why is it hard? I mean, you don't really know if the person wants to speak to you. You know? If they remember the opposite sex, you ain't going near them because this is too scary. You know, only when you get to 21 can you actually speak to a member of the opposite sex with any coherence. I'm just joking. It's tough, right? Because, like, who are they? What's their thing? But if I can just begin to interact and maybe even ask a few questions. Now, that's probably where it's really tough. I mean, once you've said, hi, how you doing? And the person grunts back, it's like, what do you do? Well, there was someone who asked a lot of questions. Yeah, I think that's the picture of the decade. Wherever Jesus was, he asked questions. Someone counted the questions of Jesus. Now, you've got to know that when you count the questions in the New Testament, you've either got a lot of time on your hand or you paid to do research. How many questions do you think Jesus asked or are recorded in the four Gospels? A lot. It's more than that. No, you can't get more than a lot, I suppose. 135 questions. I've pasted every one of them and linked to this picture on the Facebook site this afternoon will be all 135 questions. I kid you not. Someone actually did that. okay? He was the master at asking questions, because a good question, not a dumb question, a good open-ended question, are you waiting for the bus, is not a good question. I'm sitting at the bus stop, doofus, and I'm in my school uniform. You can see I'm not homeschooled because I look bright. No, I didn't say that. You can see I'm going to Parktown Girls because, I'm not even going to go there. I'm in my uniform, for heaven's sake. So that's not a good question. So how long have you been waiting? Has it been a week for you? It feels like it's been a week for me. That's not a good question. Finding out a good question and asking a good question is make or break. Have you ever been asked a question by someone that takes your breath away, that makes you think, and makes you think the whole week? Those profound questions. Why? Why are questions? Well, they make people think, a good question. That's why we work so hard for Friday nights, to really come up with good questions. And it's not easy for small group time, because a closed question or a duh question, that's obvious, not good. It also shows I'm interested. If I'm asking you a question, if I say to Michael, so where did you get that Obey jacket from? And he says, I got in Thailand. Like, whoa, what were you doing in Thailand? Like, whoa, that's like the best holiday destination after Greenside. You know, it's like, whoa, dude, it's like phenomenal. Then it shows that I've taken an interest. I've noticed that he's got a big Obey sign on the top of his jacket, okay? It shows also that you're listening, that you're interested, and that you're caring. It encourages investigation. It encourages people to start to think about stuff. It also helps people think out loud. You know, sometimes when you say something, you hear yourself saying it, you might think like, oh, wow, do I really believe that? Is that what I believe? Or did I read that in a magazine? Was that in the You magazine? Because then it's obviously not true. You know what I mean? It also gives it a chance to give people feedback, you know, to let them get some understanding so that they can hear themselves and you can say, really, really, you really believe that? Like, where did you hear that? Carte blanche. Oh, cool. Really? You believe it? It's your way of thinking now? You really believe that? Is there any evidence at all for that thing? Any evidence? Have you ever seen any sort of evolutionary developments? No, not in my lifetime. Oh, that kind of interaction, respectfully done, can really do a whole lot to engage. So let's be like a few rascals. We need exactly five of you. One, two, three, four, five. Oops. One, two, three, four, five. Oops. So five of you are going to come and grab from me one polystyrene cup full of rascals. Okay? So make sure there's kind of like five over here, five over there. You can do the standing. You kind of need to be in a circle. So if you can come grab some rascals, find a group of five. Once you've got, send someone up to get. And it kind of needs to be five because there's five colors in rascals. If there was six, we ate the sixth. No, I think there was just five. Okay? And what you're going to do is you're going to pull out a rascal one at a time in the circle. When I pull it out, I'll have a quick look. Oh, it's a yellow. And I'm going to ask the person on my left what they want to achieve in their life. And they've got about 20 seconds to answer their question. I'll then pass the packet of rascals. They can choose one out without looking, find out whatever it is, and ask the person on their left. Okay, and there's enough for like three or four turns. We've got about 5 or 8 minutes for this. Okay, so very quickly, make sure you're in groups of five. Grab yourselves a polystyrene cup. We've got enough for 60, and I think we're okay. So whatever color you call out, you're asking that question on your left. When you finish with it, if you're happy with the answer, you're welcome to eat your rascal. Okay, I'm not going to ask you to leave your places because you're going to do another exercise in those same fives, okay? So as long as you can see what's going on up here. I want to talk a little bit about the third part. So that first salt was S, stood for salivate when you eat a rascal. No, it wasn't, was it? Start a conversation, then ask questions, and now listen to their story. When you see an image of sort of movie people, everyone makes you think like, Wow, they must have a story. I like the green guy in the back. Why is he green? There's got to be a story. When I see maybe those giants, I'm thinking each has to have a story. I'm thinking each individual, I mean, anyone know a name of anyone in there? So every single person has a story. Every person.
There's something down there.
It's Gollum.
Gollum?
He's been following us for 3 days.
He escaped the dungeons of Barad-dûr.
Escaped? Or settled?
Uh-oh. He needs a mannequin.
He hates and loves the ring.
Oh,
as he hates and loves himself, he will never be rid of his need for it.
Is it? He stole it from us. My precious. Curse them. We hate them. It's ours it is. And we want it.
He's got a story. He didn't always look like that. He actually looked quite almost like someone from Hyde Park. You know what I mean? Is there any other school I haven't dissed today? Can you just send me a list of any names? There's a story. He must be someone special, arriving so calm on the dock on a sinking vessel. I want to know his story. Every person has a story, and it's about finding out what that story is. You will never really engage with people until you listen to their story, until you get to know. Actually, I'm thinking now that those 4 or 5 questions you asked are actually part of every question or every story, every movie. It's the character. It's the setting, the plot, the conflict, the theme. It's finding out those bits and pieces that make up the story that is so critical. This is why listening is so important. Here's the loud video clip.
Listen.
You want to know how I'm doing?
You
want to know how I'm doing?
Don't ask. Don't ask.
Seriously.
Don't ask if you're not ready to listen.
I'll just say fine.
Say fine.
It's the answer I'm trained
to give. It's the answer I'm trained to give, whether it's true or not.
It's true or not. Most people don't really want to know.
Really want to know. Ask what I've been up to, what I'm working on.
What's up with my family?
Tell me about your sister.
I'd like to hear about your job.
Tell me how you felt.
Tell me what you mean.
I'd like to know more about that.
You want to know how I feel when you ask questions?
When you ask questions that way?
I feel included.
I feel like I belong.
I feel cared for.
Please.
If you already know the answer,
then it's not really a question.
It's not a question, is it?
It's a test.
I hate tests.
Don't make me look foolish.
Don't trick me.
Don't use me to make a point.
If you're serious,
ask what I think.
Ask what I think.
Ask how I feel.
How I feel.
Ask an honest question.
Ask an honest question. Wait for my honest answer.
Learn from silence.
If I don't answer right away, if the silence goes on too long, ask what that means.
Maybe I'm embarrassed.
Maybe I didn't understand the question.
Maybe you weren't clear.
Maybe you weren't clear.
Maybe
I'm thinking.
Listen with your heart.
Listen with your heart.
Do you believe my answer?
Do you believe my answer? The very best motives.
Sometimes the very
worst.
I'm capable of every kind of deceit.
Just like you.
Just like you.
If you want to know my story.
If you want to know my story, tell me yours.
Tell me yours.
Let me know I'm safe.
Safe.
Let me know you're not perfect either.
When I believe that, I'll talk your ear off.
I'll talk your ear off.
I want one person from each group just to come forward and grab this little piece of paper and don't show anyone. You're welcome to have a look at it. Okay, so that person, we're going to demonstrate the challenge of listening. I want that person to turn to the person on their left and whisper into their ear what was on that paper, and then make sure you crumple up that piece of paper and keep passing it on in the circle until it's whispered back to the person who sent it, and we can compare those two. Okay? So the last person before the person who starts it should say it out loud, and then the person who started it can remind them of what it actually was. Okay, you got it? Go. Okay. How many of you actually had one perfect at the end? How many had one perfect? How many had two perfect? Three perfect. And we only did four. What made it difficult? Let me ask that question first before I ask these guys what made it easy. What made it difficult? Having two whispers, not ideal, because you can't you're not both hearing it loud. You can't repeat it, I guess. Having to remember what you've heard. If it's short, one of those were fairly short, how easy was the monkey one in typing Shakespeare? That was probably easy. The longer ones? Not so easy. Okay? Especially if you're from Parktown Boys, which is obvious here for Marco. Moment of silence. Cool. Okay, so when I'm listening, okay, if I want to do gooder at listening, just kidding. I need to be good at asking questions, right? And we've already spoken about asking questions. But a good question is really important. And then I need to actually listen to what people say. And what helps, if I could have whispered to Micah and he could have whispered back to me, and then I could have confirmed, and, well, yeah, it's the million, not thousand monkeys, it's a million monkeys. Then he would have passed it on. Probably with that feedback and checking, by the end, you would have had a much better transfer. Listening to words and emotions, and this is more than just sharing a silly story around the group, but when people are actually sharing stuff, it's the emotions as well. When Guy went quite quiet in that tar pit, it was obvious that he was talking about his family who died in the tar. And he had learned the hard way that you don't struggle when tar is there, quicksand, whatever. Listening with your eyes, your ears, and your heart. Listening is not just here. You know that sometimes when you hear someone speak, you just get the sense that something's going on and you need to lean in, you need to ask questions, you need to ask more, you need to figure out what's really going on. It might be a subtle clue. It might just be something in the eyes. And then focus on them and not you. Normally, when you're talking, I'm preparing my answer to what you're going to say. So I don't actually hear what you say. Because I'm busy, I'm preparing, my mind's working overtime. Okay, how can I outwit you now? Yeah, I'm thinking of something really witty to say, something that's going to like crush you, pulverize you, show you that I'm from the better school. Then I'm not hearing what you're saying, right? What we're going to do when we come back next week, Sean's going to lead us in how do we actually go about telling our story, okay? So we're going to do two Sundays actually on that. He's going to teach us why story is important, my own story now. So I've listened to their story. I actually want to share my story. We call that a testimony. And there's going to be a week where he's going to actually get us practically writing them, sharing them in front of everyone. And then it's also about telling God's story. How do I tell God's story? What is God's story in a nutshell? And Tabile is going to take us on the 8th of June into what is God's story, and then even a whole week of this is how you do it practically. This is how you actually can share it so people don't stand up and want to punch you in the face or something. Bill Hybels said that there's nothing like the adventure of being used by Christ to contagiously spread his love, his truth, and life to other people. Because people matter to God, so let's get on with it. It's not going to be, I'm not going to bribe you into doing this. The joy of actually sharing with others, of listening first, engaging, of starting a conversation, of asking questions, of listening to their story and telling yours and telling God's can be such an incredible adventure. Let's get on with it. Let's pray together. Father, we want to thank you, Lord God, that you want us to share your love with others. You want us to be sensitive to what's going on in the lives of people around us. Lord, we're learning to maybe step back sometimes from our soapbox and start to really engage with people and to walk a road with them and to have this conversation that would really honor them, questions that would be well used and facilitate an opportunity to hear their story so that we can share our story and ultimately, Lord, we can share your story. Help us to be wise as we share our faith with other people. And we ask this in your awesome name. Amen. So don't miss next week. what telling your story is all about.